Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Longtable Group Limited FY 2019 results conference. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Laura McBain, CEO and Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the FY 2019 financial results presentation for Longtable Group. It is great that you can join us today to hear about our FY 2019 results and also our ambition and future direction of the group. It's fair to say that FY 2019 has had some challenges. However, there have also been a number of positive initiatives making us confident in the future of Longtable and the possibilities for the house of brands that we have built. I'm going to hand you straight over to Michael Karagiannis, the CFO, Longtable Group, to take you through the financials. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Laura. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome from me also. In the last 12 months, we have acquired St. David Dairy, completed the acquisition of Maggie Beer Products, relaunched and restructured Paris Creek Farms. We now have a group of premium brands on a pathway to growth. This transition year has led to some complexity in reporting business performance. To assist, we have harmonized the reporting across the group. I'd like to take you through the next few slides to provide you with insight into Longtable Group's financial performance for financial year 2019. We go to slide four, group portfolio results. Overall, the company's statutory results for the 12 months ended 30th of June 2019 reflect a continued period of transformational change on the pathway to growth and are not representative of the underlying business earnings into future periods. Slide four shows the consolidated statutory result for Longtable Group, which incorporates the trading performance of each respective business since acquisition. As I mentioned, we have had some complexity, so allow me to guide you through the table on this slide. The Longtable column is the group consolidated statutory results and includes results from Maggie Beer Products from the 16th of April 2019, Paris Creek Farms for the full financial year, and St. David Dairy from the 1st of August 2018. The Maggie Beer Products column to the far right are the trading results for the nine and a half months prior to our full acquisition. Group NPAT includes 474,000 dollars, being the equity accounted investment of 48% share of Maggie Beer's NPAT. The group achieved net sales of 25.6 million. Compared to last financial year, sales were 8.6 million, which only included six months of sales from Paris Creek Farms. As announced in last week's trading results update, the carrying value of Paris Creek Farms was assessed, incorporating updated key inputs to reflect revised sales forecasts, factoring the rebrand, increased recent raw milk prices, and the impact on the cost base following recent cost-out initiatives. In accordance with accounting standards, growth from new product development and possible new markets and customers were not factored into the fair value assessment. The review resulted in a non-cash goodwill impairment expense of 15.2 million for the year. The group incurred an after-tax loss of 24.2 million compared to the same period last year of 6.7 million and included the following: the non-cash goodwill impairment expense just mentioned, a fair value gain of 2 million dollars from the 48% equity investment of Maggie Beer Products upon acquisition, the successful turnaround of Maggie Beer Products due to new product category sales with retailers alongside sustainable cost-out initiatives, the continuing transition of Paris Creek Farms to a sophisticated corporate business model and its restructure to rebase costs, enhance efficiencies, and mitigate cost increases, St. David Dairy's continued positive sales growth trajectory at a high cost base due to cost increases, and corporate costs associated with acquisitions and building group structure. I'll provide further details of each business's trading result in the next few slides. In looking at the overall Longtable Group trading result, the group incurred an EBITDA trading loss of 7.3 million after normalizations. The group's statutory EBITDA loss was 9.4 million. further to the Paris Creek Farms goodwill impairment charge and Magibia Products fair value gain on acquisition, costs totaling $2.5 million were considered normalisation adjustments, given they were one-off in nature. These included costs associated with acquisitions, employee share-based payment adjustments, and business-related significant items of $2.1 million, mainly related to Paris Creek Farms' new product launch transitional costs, restructure, and other costs of approximately $1.7 million. Now moving on to the next slide, slide 5, the group balance sheet. The group is supported by a solid balance sheet with net assets at the 30th of June 2019 of $63 million, compared to $63.5 million as at 30th of June 2018. This includes a cash balance of $9.8 million compared to last year of $14.8 million. The June 18 cash balance included the proceeds from the capital raise associated with the acquisition of St. David Dairy, which was settled on the 1st of August 2018. The balance sheet also incorporates the acquisition of Magibia Products and its fair value gain adjustment, in addition to the Paris Creek Farms impairment of goodwill. Goodwill for the group now totals $27 million, with Paris Creek valued at $12.1 million, a reduction from $27.3 million, St. David Dairy now at $11.1 million, and Maggie at $3.9 million. Other intangibles now total $7.7 million, which includes the estimated brand value for Maggie of $4.4 million, and a total of $3.2 million for St. David Dairy. Inventory at 30th June 2019 was $3.6 million, 74% relating to Magibia product stock on hand. Magibia's inventory is approximately 13% of their sales, compared to Paris Creek at 5% of their sales, and St. David at 2% of their sales. Overall, net working capital for the group is now approximately 11% of sales at $4.8 million, which reflects our larger group. Regarding the cash balance, we have now completed a review of the operating cash flow requirements of the business over the next 2 years. The company's current cash position will support the business to progress its strategic and operational initiatives over this period. Magibia Products and St. David Dairy are expected to continue to contribute positively to the group's cash position, with Paris Creek Farms expected to begin contributing positively during the second half of financial year 20. The businesses are not expected to spend on any major capital investment except where opportunities are identified for significant new product launches. A disciplined approach to working capital and the group's cash management position will continue. Now over to slide 6, Magibia Products. Magibia Products trading performance for the full year 19 saw a strong turnaround, returning to a positive EBITDA of $2 million compared to a loss last financial year, 18 that is, of $1.5 million. The result was pleasingly above management's guidance of $1.7 million to $1.9 million in the acquisition business case. With the acquisition effective from the 16th of April, trading EBITDA of $197,000 was recognised upon consolidation, with a balance accounted via equity accounting, as mentioned previously. Net sales were approximately 9% up on last year at $20.9 million, with a successful expansion of the cheese category into major retailers, adding $2.4 million in new sales, albeit at a lower gross margin. Sales of stocks were up 70%. These sales more than mitigated shortfalls in fruit paste and ice cream. As a result of implementing a more efficient cost structure late in financial year 18, overall costs were 26% or $2.8 million lower than last year, predominantly from the reduction of staff costs. Overall, operating activities contributed approximately $1.9 million in cash to the business. For further details of the Magibia Products profit and loss together with historical comparatives, please refer to the appendix. Now over to slide 7. Improvements in sales, along with an active cost-out program, particularly in labour, being the key drivers in the business, delivered strong EBITDA outcomes in financial year 19. As illustrated in slide 7, sales grew in partnership with a major retailer partner through an active new product development program successfully implemented during the year, growing a new category in cheese whilst more than mitigating shortfalls in other categories. The strength in the relationship with the major retailer, together with Magibia's operating model, provides opportunities for expansion with the other major retail partners. As mentioned in the previous slide, management successfully implemented a restructure in June 2018, resulting in overhead reductions, predominantly from the reduction of staff costs, reducing 27% or $1.7 million, and the results confirmed the sustainability of the restructure savings. At Maggie Beer Products, the focus remains on growing its relationships with customers, introducing new products as it leverages the credentials of the Maggie Beer popularity and also seeks to leverage opportunities with Paris Creek Farms whilst maintaining costs at current levels. Moving on to the next slide, slide 8, Paris Creek Farms. The past 12 months, whilst challenging and its performance disappointing, Paris Creek Farms has been repositioned for profitable growth during the second half of financial year 20. In the first half of financial year 19, all of the products within the portfolio were rebranded, repackaged, repriced, with average selling price per litre increasing by 7%. Customer feedback resulting from bottle functionality challenges with the introduction of the repackaged milk bottles led to a swift reintroduction of the 2-litre and 1-litre milk bottles during March and April this year. The reintroduction was well received, and despite some resulting loss of share in South Australia, early results provide confidence of not only recovering share, but also growing share whilst pursuing ranging opportunities across the eastern seaboard. Net sales were down 13% compared to last year. This was as a result of a number of factors. These included a continued shift towards lower price point customer channels, a temporary deranging of some SKUs to comply with retailer ranging reviews, re-ranging again late in the last quarter, and product category mix shifting slightly towards milk at 63% of sales from 61%, with yogurt consistent at 80% of sales, and a slight reduction in mix in cheese to 8% of sales. Paris Creek Farms' valuable resource, biodynamic organic milk, continued to increase, with availability increase approximately 7% compared to financial year 18 at largely the same cost of approximately 65 cents per litre. Raw milk processed through the plant was approximately 1 million litres, or 10% less than the previous year, reflecting the lower sales volume. There were 8 farmer suppliers in the network at the 30th of June 2019. The excess raw milk, particularly over the spring months, was sold to third-party processors at an average overall discount of about 10 cents per litre, costing a total just short of $300,000. The launch of Paris Creek Farms rebranded products and the staggered launch of those products to align with supermarket timelines added a layer of complexity and created temporary operational inefficiencies impacting both labour and waste. As a result, overall costs, excluding marketing expenses, increased by approximately 13% or $1 million compared to the previous year. Major contributors to the increase were labour increases of 11% or $500,000, associated with enterprise agreement increases, unproductive labour and overtime, cost increases and usage charges of electricity and gas, in addition to cleaning chemicals of approximately $200,000, maintenance cost increases of $200,000 associated with machinery breakdowns and moving to a preventative maintenance regime, and quality assurance and testing usage increases of about $100,000 due to product transitions and increasing testing from the greater supply of extended shelf life products. Limited spend in advertising and marketing initiatives in financial year 18 led to a prudent increased investment of circa 3% of sales, or approximately $400,000, in support of the rebranding initiatives during financial year 19. This level of spend is expected to continue to support brand recognition via e-commerce and other platforms. While Paris Creek Farms delivered a normalised EBITDA trading loss of $3.9 million, the cause of those losses are reflective of the transformation being undertaken and did not reflect the benefits that the growth strategy will have on future revenues and earnings. Management remained confident that Paris Creek will return to profitability, albeit taking longer than originally expected. We will now move over to the next slide, slide 9, to look at the key business drivers. Management's key focus areas are sales along with costs, particularly labour costs, as labour makes up 50% of all expenses, excluding raw material costs. With the launch of the rebranded product portfolio, together with the swift reintroduction of the old milk bottles, the core business sales stabilised with a slight improved run rate entering into the new financial year. The new sales team leadership team's immediate focus is to contribute and continue to capture lost market share in South Australia whilst pursuing ranging opportunities across the eastern seaboard. In response to the sales challenges, plant inefficiencies and cost increases, management implemented a two-tranche restructure to rebase labour costs, capturing the run rate savings in June. This led to a one-off restructure cost of approximately $500,000 in redundancies and is expected to contribute approximately $1.8 million in gross annualised savings in financial year 20 on the pathway of reducing labour back to historical levels. Harris Creek Farms remains strategically sound with access to the largest pool of biodynamic organic milk in Australia, reinforced by milk availability being up on last year and cost out initiatives already implemented totalling in excess of $2 million. The opportunity remains in converting this milk to value-added products coupled with a strong push into new geographic distributions. In addition, the growth runway is underpinned by the reset prices, new product launches, and its new brand look supported by further operational efficiencies at the factory. Management expect a positive performance run rate during the second half of financial year 20. We now move to the next slide, slide 10, St. David Dairy. Since the acquisition of St. David Dairy on the 1st of August 2018, this business has delivered continued revenue growth and increased customer numbers. Net sales were 23% higher than last year, financial year 18 that is, albeit at a high cost base to cost increases, mainly in raw milk and cream due to industry-wide price increases and labour cost increases. St. David Dairy contributed operating cash of approximately $900,000 to the group. As a result of the cost increases, management successfully implemented market price increases in June to mitigate some of the raw material cost increases. Even though the cost increases resulted in a deterioration of both gross margin and EBITDA, there is confidence that margins will improve in financial year 20 due to the price increase and closer management of costs, particularly in labour. The planned expansion of the footprint in Sydney has been put on hold until sales via the current distributor increase to a point that can justify the investment. Footprint expansion opportunities will also be considered in Melbourne as volumes are expected to outgrow capacity. Milk continues to be the largest product category at 73% of total sales, with milk sales up 11% over the period. Butter and cream demonstrated significant sales, growing by 54% compared to last year, and now comprises of 21% of total sales. The additional demand by a Sydney-based distributor, coupled with an increased demand by bakeries, continue to the growth in butter, now totalling approximately $1 million. With St. David Dairy's significant growth, local management are continually managing the existing labour pool to meet increased production. During the year, the business utilised additional labour in the form of overtime and outsourced labour, which impacted EBITDA by 3.6 percentage points. Total labour is 72% of total expenses or 29% of sales. Again, please refer to the appendix for more detailed breakdown of the P&L. Sales and EBITDA growth are expected to continue given the focus on high levels of customer service, outstanding quality products, resetting cream and butter prices to customers, and the stabilising of labour costs. In summary, having acquired Paris Creek Farms, St. David Dairy, and the Maggie Beer products over the past 2 years, the group now has a portfolio of premium food and dairy brands to achieve its ambition. Growth from these businesses is expected from organic opportunities in products, both from existing and through new product development and distribution. There are also synergistic opportunities across the group and its portfolio of premium brands, sharing resources in new product development, distribution, sales, finance, logistics and manufacturing that will be facilitated and enabled by a common IT platform. The group has already commenced activating some of these opportunities and we anticipate that financial year 20 will demonstrate the opportunities for long-term growth of the three high-quality businesses we have acquired. This concludes the financial review slides of the Longtable Group's full financial year results. Thank you for listening. I'll pass you back to Laura. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, and setting a great foundation for where I'm taking us now, which is into the actions that some of the operating actions that we undertook during the second half of FY19 that have set the foundation for our future. We are focused on four key pillars: strong revenue growth, manufacturing capability, strong and sustainable marketing campaigns, and importantly, cash flow positive growth. In terms of revenue growth, during the last 6 months, we have undertaken a number of initiatives to grow revenue. In particular, we draw your attention to the following key areas where we have and will continue to see success. To Maggie Beer products, Maggie Beer has been successful in launching a range of new cheeses and stocks which have seen particular successes in Woolies. And these have helped grow their respective categories. And as a result, we see further pipeline development to continue to expand our reach in that entertaining and cooking at home space. At Paris Creek Farms, we have focused on stabilising our sales with independent retailers following the challenges that Michael mentioned to our market share as a result of the milk launch last year. This is particularly important to win in our homeland as it sets us up for successes in new markets on the Eastern Seaboard. And we've already enjoyed some of those successes there with the ranging of the Paris Creek Farms butter in Coles stores, in 260 Coles stores in fact, the triple cream camembert cheese in around 300 stores. They're small beginnings, but it does show the opportunity for our biodynamic organic range in those categories and beyond. At St David Dairy, we have seen a continuation of our expansion in Melbourne, but pleasingly also in Sydney, where we have a beachhead via our distributor. We aim to grow this rapidly over the next year and have a good foundation on which to do so. Underpinning this is a restructured sales team. The new sales team are capable of a more granular focus on our customers, building strong, lasting relationships over the portfolio of products that we represent. Another pillar to our growth strategy and the FY19 results has been our manufacturing capabilities. A key priority at Paris Creek has been to improve our model for milk utilisation across a mid-sized facility, but with complex infrastructure and a complex and diverse product range. There are few facilities in Australia that have such a diverse range of products produced at one site. And so we have built our models to ensure we get the right balance for the business in the future. Leading the charge in this endeavour at Paris Creek is the leadership team from Maggie Beer, who are now also managing the Paris Creek Farms plant. Their capability is deep, and the improvements continue to flow as we implement improved systems and processes to really capture value. As part of that integration, we are now also producing some of the Maggie Beer cheeses at Paris Creek. In addition, we have more development underway for range extension and new categories for Maggie Beer brand to play in. And these initiatives will be timed to meet supermarket ranging dates. Another area where integration of the leadership teams has and will continue to see results is in logistics. We have merged some of our logistics contracts with third-party suppliers and expect to see the cost benefits of these and improved customer service and delivery times as a result. And finally, we have shared milk and cream across the businesses wherever this has been possible, and this has really helped St David and Paris Creek to better manage raw material costs in what has been an inflationary environment. Marketing will be a key focus for us to build our brands, obviously, but it is fair to say that our marketing budgets have been small as we manage cash flow against growth. But we have achieved some great initiatives already. And on page 15 of the deck and in the annual report you can see some of the examples of the achievements to date. We've had Women's Day publishing a small piece about biodynamic farming, influencers across multiple platforms sharing their engagement with our brands, people like Poe, for example, raving about our Paris Creek milk. And we've been leveraging Maggie Beer's appearances in media to our own platforms, as you can see during the MasterChef series and onwards to other media appearances that Maggie's been making more recently. These initiatives, while small, set us up for future growth and success and led by a very small but committed marketing team. Most importantly, we are massively focused on returning to positive cash flow. We have engaged in a number of initiatives across the group, including sharing people and resources, leveraging our growing scale with service providers, and increasing prices to better recover raw material costs. There is more work to be done, and we will continue to push forward with these programs to return the group to a cash flow positive position. So that's a snapshot of some of the activities that we've undertaken in the last half, but we've also been working on our strategic outlook, and in the next few minutes, I will take you through what we have planned in each of our businesses. Overall, we have a clear ambition to be a strong house of premium Australian food brands, a one-of-a-kind in Australia. In doing so, our ambition is to reach more than $70 million in revenue and to grow EBITDA to low double-digit percentage by FY22. So how do we do that? Well, let's start with Maggie Beer Products. Maggie is obviously very well known, and what we want to do is make sure that not only is she well known, but the products we produce under that brand are too. We think the fundamentals of that business are strong and are capable of achieving more and more as we push forward. We've had strong revenue growth and a return to profitable EBITDA and positive cash flow. We've got a well-known brand with strong credentials and a brand recognition that continues to expand to reach new generations of followers. And we have a unique blend of in-house processing and contract manufacturing capability, which gives us a diverse base from which it can be fast with our NPD and innovation pipeline. Using these as building blocks, there are four areas we have identified as key initiatives to drive our ambition. We have to leverage our brand more strongly and have a number of initiatives in place to do so in order that we increase our brand awareness to new demographics and particularly younger age groups who know Maggie but don't necessarily connect that with our food range. To make the most of the opportunity, our product innovation will increase our ranging to more contemporary products and to connect awareness of those products with those emerging demographics. We intend to focus on our go-to-market and in doing so, increase our revenue base through diversification of a distribution strategy and through export growth. Key markets we have identified include India, where we know that the MasterChef franchise already has a significant following, and more recently Maggie has been asked to assist with some of the publicity for that market as it launches for this season. In terms of customer relations, we do enjoy a strong place with the retailers as leaders of the category in pâté and paste and cheese, and we need to better leverage these relationships to create further opportunities for the group. And as I mentioned before, the NPD and innovation team at Maggie Beer have an incredible amount of bandwidth and continue to be supported by Maggie and her passion for potential new products. NPD will be focused on core areas where we can add significant growth to the group. Turning to our ambitions for St David, we are already well known amongst chefs and baristas and cooks, and we intend to amplify that to a broader Melbourne audience and push that into Sydney. The business is underpinned by strong fundamentals, including revenue growth, solid EBITDA and cash flow, sustainable, locally sourced and produced milk, together with low wastage, small batch processing and same-day turnaround. All important building blocks for our niche dairy brand. Our growth driver into the future for St David's includes a focus on brand and innovation in our product range. In the case of butter, for example, we know there is strong demand for alternative packaging mediums, and these can be simple solutions to growing our business. Increasing distribution in Melbourne and Sydney, and also delivering a better customer experience with more efficient and cost-effective supply chain and logistics will also drive growth. And we also see the potential to grow through portfolio expansion and are actively pursuing plant-based milks in order to deliver a complete solution to our customers. At Paris Creek Farms, whilst it has been a period of significant change, the core fundamentals of this business that set the foundation for growth include our 100% biodynamic milk and award-winning products, a pricing structure that best captures the value of our biodynamic milk, and a CNCA-approved manufacturing facility led by a strong leadership team. To grow this business, our drivers are brand, marketing, manufacturing, supply chain and logistics, and development and innovation. Each of these delivers a combination of growth for revenue, better cost structures, improved allocation of overheads, and a reduction of waste and efficiency. We are driven by the opportunities of this brand in Australia and export markets, and will leverage existing products as well as simple product development initiatives as future pipelines of revenue growth. So with those fundamental plans, what are we focused on for this half in particular? We have a solid balance sheet, but we are focused on a positive cash flow position for the second half of this year, and to do so, we'll continue to put in place steps to achieve this. We must grow our distribution in our brands, and our sales team will be driving this program with gusto. We will continue our evolution of Paris Creek's manufacturing capability and drivers, and push forward with sensible initiatives at St David and Maggie Beer to continue to gain efficiencies in those markets, in those businesses. And our branding, marketing and advertising will continue to push forward with a small team but doing great things with a sensible spend. So to wrap up, we are very pleased with where Maggie Beer and St David Dairy have finished for the financial year. Paris Creek has been challenging, but we have a pathway to move forward that we are confident of. Our goodwill impairment to Paris Creek was disappointing, but we must now focus on the reset for this business. We have demonstrated capability in a reset, bearing in mind that Maggie Beer was reporting more than $1 million loss last year, and this year has delivered a $2 million EBITDA profit. Our cash position is solid, and we have a clear strategy for growth, which we will push forward. With your support, we are confident that Longtable will be a great Australian success story. We thank you for your time today and would now move to questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star then two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question today comes from Mark Southwell Keeley, Select Equities. Go ahead, please.
G'day, Laura and Michael. How are you going?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Can I start with a question around the guidance for F20 in relation to cash flow being positive? Where are you now, and therefore how big is the gap between the current run rate negative cash to achieve positive cash?
So our position, Mark, is that keeping in mind Maggie and St David are both cash positive and Paris Creek has a little way to go. We're expecting that business to be cash positive early in the second half, and it's on a run rate and trajectory to achieve that. It's not without risks, of course, and we need to acknowledge that, but we feel comfortable with the plans that we have in place to get there. So essentially, during the second half, we'll start to see the entire group returning to that cash flow positive position. But in the meantime, you know, we expect that, you know, of all the initiatives that we've already implemented will contribute to that. But we've still a little more work to do at this stage.
So what's the current run rate negative cash?
Well, we're not obviously going to be in position to sort of go with that number, but it's fair to say that the business remains comfortable with its cash position, and we're sure that we're in a space where we've got plenty of cash to meet the needs of the business in the go forward, and also to implement a lot of those strategic initiatives that we've sort of called out.
What are some of the key assumptions that the positive cash in the second half depend on?
Yeah, so we continue, some of the initiatives have obviously already been implemented, so
Basically, Mark, from a run rate perspective, a lot of the cost-saving initiatives have already been kicked off. So, as I mentioned through the presentation, there's been a couple of $1 million just on Paris Creek savings that, from a run rate perspective, as I mentioned, will happen also in the first half, of course. There are assumptions, of course, in terms of modest growth into the second half, which allows the sales team in the first 6 months to get their feet under the table, the new sales team, that is. So therefore, there's an element of growth in the second half associated with that. Basically, there are ranging dates in the second half also that we're going to actually satisfy, hence why we're confident in the second half we'll be able to achieve that, that positive outlook.
Are you able to quantify any of those assumptions in terms of the... I think you just said that there's some additional cost savings to be spent in the first half. Did you just say that?
Yeah, so things like a logistics cost-out program that we mentioned, we've gone through the process with the team in sort of consolidating it all, but the benefits of which will flow through as we implement those changes through this half. There is also, in relation to that, say at Paris Creek, a lot of initiatives just in terms of getting wastage down through the plant, and that's been about balance, getting our product mix right and our balance of products right to reduce wastage as well. So we feel those things are within our control. In terms of, as Michael said, sales, we've taken the view of a very modest sort of modest view of the world over the next 6 months. But note that we've got some expectation of improved ranging in the second half of the year as a result of our plans with obviously the major retailers. Now that's not, it's not huge and it's not undoable. So we feel quite confident, given our discussions with the trade recently, that that's something that we can achieve. But as I said, it's not without risk. So they're sort of the key assumptions. So sales, we've done everything we need to do with labour. We still see some costs out in terms of logistics and obviously reducing wastage at the plant.
What do you define as modest?
Well, modest is modest. certainly if you look at sort of the trajectory for the last year, we've taken a very conservative view as to what sales can look like.
Like, as in sales declining or sales increasing? And if so,
well, sales declined in the last year, so we're assuming that that won't be a trend. And if you look at the slide that we've provided to you in the deck, we've shown sort of that turn that started to come around in Q4, and it started to trend in the right direction.
Okay. Yeah. So should we, in terms of that slide, should we be, how should we be thinking of the next four quarters compared to the fourth quarter 3.2?
Well, Mark, I mean, I've just said, I've given you sort of the indicators, we're expecting modest growth. We've seen Q4 turn slightly. We have done a lot of work in terms of fully fulfilling better market penetration back into South Australia. It feels good and we feel like we're heading in the right direction.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to register for a question, please press star, then one on your telephone. Your next question comes from Paul Bridgeford, Bridgeford Super Fund. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. It just seems to me that you have a very strong brand with Maggie Beer, You don't really have a strong national brand with Paris Creek. St. David seems to me to be very much a kind of a wholesale brand. Why don't you actually focus your market spend on a brand, Maggie Beer, that is obviously well known to the public, and then really treat Paris Creek, which obviously we paid too much for, as a wholesale supplier to each of the other two?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question, and it sort of comes back to the key thematics that are driving growth and in the food industry at the moment. So we've tapped in, if you look at the three brands in our portfolio, we've tapped into three really key areas. So St. David Dairy is really about localisation and provenance, so connecting people more closely back to their brands and where it's come from and where their food is coming from. And St. David does that quite uniquely, and so it's the reason it has such a provenance within Melbourne and growing in Sydney is that people can understand and better connect with their food. If you then turn to Maggie Beer's range has really been about another really key theme, which is entertaining at home. So clearly Maggie has a place in terms of having a diverse range of products that include, you know, pâtés and pastes, ice creams, cheeses, but they're all very indulgent sort of foods and things that you can sort of embrace when you're dining or entertaining in your own home. And I think her increasing portfolio is very much around capturing further value in that, but also capturing value in cooking at home, if you like, with Maggie, hence things like the stocks and so on. So that's another key driver of thematic. And the third one is really about health and wellness. And, you know, one of the places that Paris Creek can play in quite uniquely as a brand is that health and wellness portfolio, given that it is a biodynamic organic range and given that, you know, realistically it's probably one of the most sustainable milks in the country. Now, I admit that Paris Creek has had challenges this year and, you know, awareness of biodynamic organic milk is growing, but I remain confident that that is an area of significant interest to consumers and to the market, and that we will see that expand and grow. So if you like, it will be a pipeline of future revenue growth as well. So I think the three platforms that we've got all come at the market in different ways, and so I think they've all got relevance. In terms of the way we spend our marketing, I think Maggie Beer obviously has significant opportunities, as you've mentioned, and we do need to leverage that and push a lot harder into that. And it's fair to say the marketing team are very focused on making the most of it. We'll see a lot more coming out of the Maggie Beer marketing side. The last really year and a half or so has been a very limited spend in that space. But I think also the spend that's been made could be a little bit better spent into the future. So all of those things will take place, and we see that as a group we'll continue to grow three good brands as a result.
Yeah, but how? What's the proportion of your marketing spend is going to be made to each of the three brands?
Well, have
you got a percentage of that?
Yeah, so we look at the three brands as separate sort of businesses, if you like, in terms of our marketing spend. If you look through the deck on page 21, we're sort of capping Maggie Beer's investment in marketing at around 4%. With St. David's, we're capping it at around 2%. And at Paris Creek, it's capped at about 3%. And that's a cap. That's the maximum we would spend.
Yeah, but what are the numbers? You know, if you pull them together as a global marketing spend for the Long Table Group, what percentage is spent on each brand then? And the reason my question is trying to get the message across of organic and biodynamic, I suspect is going to be a much more expensive marketing spend than it would be to on, say, Maggie Beer, which is obviously a well-known brand, and you can then expand that perhaps more efficiently with your marketing spend.
Yeah, so when we're making these both investment decisions across each of the brands, and I think the reality is that in any event, given the total revenue in each business, we're not talking sheep stations here. It's pretty limited budget for marketing. So Maggie Beer, in a sense though, we get almost a free kick with in as far as the indirect value of the being able to promote and cross promote with Maggie is quite different. So we don't need to spend on influencer campaigns. She is the influencer. So I think we've made decisions around trying to get the balance right, and I hear what you're saying. We'll take it on board and we'll take a look at it. But I do feel that we've got our marketing mix right.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Peter Halstead, Little Group. Go ahead, please.
Guys, thanks for the presentation. Just one quick question for you. In terms of the sequential deterioration in GM in what appears to be across the businesses, is that sort of exogenous in terms of driven by input prices, or is it just the reorganisation of the business units?
Thank you for your question, Peter. It's a sort of it's a mixture of things. Let me just clarify what I just said. So certainly there are some external factors in terms of cost increases in raw milk, cream, and so on and so forth. Further to that, there is a consideration around product mix. So I mentioned for Harris Creek in particular, we've gone into a channel, customer channel, which is currently returning us less than other retail customers. So there is some control over that in terms of which customers we actually want to play with. But certainly for Paris Creek in particular, there has been some, stock adjustments, waste associated with obviously the transition into the new product. So again, it's within our control. So going forward, we do see a recovery in margin as a result of the elimination of that waste, if you like, in Paris Creek in particular. And once we do get our operational house in order, so to speak, which we're well in training doing so, we can actually really look at the customer channel that we want to play with, so to speak.
So is it a question of sales or is it a question of production costs?
It's actually both sales mix and category mix, and okay. Less so from a cost perspective.
And so what do you reckon a sustainable GM would be in the business, the individual businesses then?
Well, it's a very difficult question to answer, but I could take you through the by business.
That's why I'm asking it.
Sure.
I can't figure it out.
That's absolutely a good question. Thanks, Peter. And at the moment, you have seen the Paris Creek Farms in the way we define the profit or loss by nature. You can see, it's deteriorated from 46% to 43% to 37%. This business should be in excess of 40% at a minimum, on the pathway to 45%, if that gives you some guidance. In terms of, right, on the same basis, St. David Dairy, quite high relatively speaking, in excess of 50%, 50-55%, that should remain at that level. And with Maggie Beer, certainly currently at mid-40s, 40-50% is the range that we're probably expecting for Maggie Beer to play.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. It does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.